friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. I think you'll recognize the voice of my guest because, well, that's if you've been listening to Irish Radio Network for the last bulk of a decade. I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Miriam Nyhan Gray. And Miriam has indeed been affiliated with Glucksman Ireland House since 2009. That's New York University's Glucksman Ireland House, where she has taught in the Irish Studies program, as well as serving as Director of Graduate Studies, Associate Director, and NYU's Global Coordinator for Irish Studies. And, of course, she is very much a part of Irish Radio and the program. Her program is called This Irish American Life. You might have been listening to it just a little more than an hour ago. Dr. Miriam Nyhan Gray, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you, Adrian. It's my pleasure to be on with you this morning. Thank you for affording me this opportunity to talk about the exciting event I'm involved with over the next few weeks in the city, and I'm really delighted to be able to share the news of it with your listeners. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Well, again, we've worked hand in hand again for a long time, and I think that most listeners to this program will know that indeed from 9 to 10 a.m. New York time, Miriam's program is aired on WNYE 91.5 FM in the tri-state area here in New York. And I want to start with your program and, you know, This Irish American Life. And maybe you bring us back to, you know, the beginning where we were fortunate to, you know, to link up with you. You didn't come running, by the way, but there's no time for grievances. Let's go back to, you know, the end of 2013 into 2014. What was your motivation, other than our begging, what was your motivation to actually take on, you know, a very solid commitment to host this this Irish American Life? What was that about?
Well, Adrian, I mean, it was an honor when you shared your thoughts and ideas about that collaboration. I came to New York a few decades after you did, and I had the good fortune and honor and privilege of interviewing a lot of Irish immigrants who had made New York home, and yourself, you were one of them. I still think about the fact that my interview with you ends in the late 50s, and we still have to pick up the second part of that, but we won't get into that now. So interviewing oral history has been a major part of my research for actually now close to two decades, then probably a decade or so. And in that sense, an interview format or thinking about radio was not foreign to me. And I don't know that I ever mentioned it to you, because I've only really thought about it in retrospect. When I was a child growing up in Arklow, County Wicklow, my mother hosted a weekly slot on the local radio station in Arklow, And I have very fond memories of going with her to the local studio. The show she hosted was about meditation, relaxation and yoga. This was in the early to mid-1980s in Ireland when all this stuff, you know, this is all kind of part of modern life. But this was kind of new at the time. And she came under the wrath of some priest because they thought she was up to something that was a bit dodgy in terms of the Catholic Church's teachings at the time. But in that sense, the kind of medium of radio was something I was very familiar with, and my family will attest to the fact that I'm a radio addict. I listen to radio all the time, in the car, at home, on my computer. I listen to a lot of Irish radio. I listen to a lot of American radio. And I love, one of the things I've always loved in American life is the public radio. So when you know, threw out that idea of me collaborating with yourself and Anya in terms of presenting this weekly slot that you had such a dedicated following with, and which married, I suppose, the educational and ethnic dimension. I mean, it's been one of the pleasures of the last 8 or 9 years or so to be able to do what you do in my way is, you know, not too dissimilar from yours in terms of trying to give people a platform and share interesting conversations and reflections on the Irish and Irish American experience. I think it's such a great way to educate and inform people, or at least provoke them in terms of maybe thinking about things anew or in a different way. So the honour's been mine, Adrian, frankly.
Well, I will say, again, we are delighted to be on the same platform, and we are. So, again, any further comment on that would come to backslapping, and that would take the next 20 minutes, so we'll move on to Miriam, you are the founder of the Black, Brown and Green Voices Project, a documentary documentation strategy and public humanities initiative, you know, and take it from there. As a matter of fact, you might want to double back and, you know, talk about it from the beginning. What got you into this in the first place?
Well, I've always been very interested in looking at the experiences of migrants in a comparative context, Adrian. You know, to look at my doctoral research looked at Irish immigrants in New York and London, and my question was, how was Irishness different in two different places? And one of the logical progressions from those kinds of questions is, well, how do the experiences of immigrants differ maybe in the same place? And I became particularly interested in how race and racial identity, or, you know, how the social construction of racial identity can make people's experiences of places differ, sometimes at the same time. My husband is an immigrant to the United States as well, like me. He was born in Jamaica, but has lived most of his life in New York City, and would ostensibly consider himself a Jamaican. So immigration and identity and senses of belonging have been very much of interest to me, you know, as I say, prior to that, to my meeting my now husband, and then after I met him, I was particularly taken by the fact, Adrian, that in comparison, say, with the robustness of the Irish-American community and the, you know, the longevity of the Irish American community, you know, we're back over many centuries now, et cetera, et cetera. I was really interested in how other communities might operate. And we have a family, and I thought about, as you know, my own intellectual interests evolved, I thought about the fact that the interviews I was doing for the Archives of Irish America were primarily with people who self-identified as being Irish, Adrian, but they looked like you and me, and they didn't necessarily look like my sons. And, you know, I say this a lot, but it really is true. I used to say, you know, God, that my sons are going to look in the Archives of Irish America in 30 or 40 years' time, maybe, and say, God, Mom didn't interview anyone who looked like us. And, you know, the changing face of Irish America has a real resonance because of the changing faces of Ireland. You know, Ireland has become a very diverse country, and the assumptions that, you know, Irish people are, you know, these light-skinned, blue-eyed, freckled, red-haired people, like some of us, can't be just the assumption anymore. So with the support of my colleagues at Luxman Ireland House and our director, Professor Kevin Kenny, immense support on the board of Luxman Ireland House and the Department of Foreign Affairs through the Consulate of Ireland, in particular, Ciarán Madden, the immediate past Consul General, and of course its successor, Helena Nolan, has been tremendous as well. I was encouraged to begin a modest project, which was to set about interviewing 15 Americans who self-identifying as being of Irish and of African descent. And that was the genesis of this little project. And I suppose in real terms, the progress to date, we really started that project in earnest in 2019. And then, of course, COVID-19 raised its ugly head, et cetera, et cetera. But it has had an immense impact in terms of helping to form a sensibility of a community, Adrian, wherein the assumptions of what it means to be Irish and breaking down the barriers in which Irish spaces are configured. We've at least, if I can say nothing else, we've at least prompted questions and a welcoming to people in the community who heretofore didn't always feel like those spaces were open to them, right? So I'm very proud of the work that we've done, and I'm very proud of Irish New York in terms of how, not only through the Black, Brown and Green Voices series, but in other ways, we've really kind of been stepping up to the plate in terms of looking at our community and seeing how we could make it more open to others. Now, you know, we've made immense progress, as you know, and I know, you know, some of the issues around, you know, the St. Patrick's Day parade and who would march in it and who can march in it or who hasn't. We've addressed some of those issues in recent years. There's been a lot of introspection in the role of women in, you know, Irish society and in how we look at American society and things like this. So I suppose in that way, some of the work that I've been doing with Black, Brown and Green Voices has just built on some of that work that was already out there. So that's kind of how it started, Adrian, literally from that kind of sense of embarrassment that I would say, you know, my kids or my grandkids are going to say, you know, God almighty, she was out doing these interviews and we didn't see her for days on end and things like that. But where am I in that? And where is the representation of me? And I'm empathetic to that. I'm more empathetic to that as I get older because I'm aware of the privilege that I hold as a, you know, Irish, well-educated, middle-class woman. But I'm aware of, you know, the limitations that sometimes I have felt, sometimes because I'm a woman, for example, right? So we can kind of identify in those ways. So it's been an immense learning curve, and it's been very fortunate and a nice synergy that the American African American Irish Diaspora Network which was founded out of Washington, D.C. by a great guy called Dennis Brownlee, who I hope we can get on your show someday soon. Dennis had the kernel of an idea to form an organization which would bring together people who have an affinity or an ancestral link that brings Ireland, Africa, and America together. And I am a founding board member of the African American Irish Diaspora Network. And the reason I'm talking to you today is because we're in the run-up to our inaugural gala dinner, which is on later this month. So there's been a lot of different things going on, and they've come together in a nice way.
That's, you know, now that you've taken my next 15 questions there, so I'm going to go down, put a quarter of a meter or something, let you fire away here. Dr. Miriam Nyhan-Greig, seriously, you have given us more, you know, information with respect to this, because it is always, in my opinion, anyway, there are so many of us who will, of course, and would be surprised to know that 38% of African Americans have an Irish heritage. And if that sounds, you know, like an exaggeration, we could take a look at, you know, of some of those who, you know, who not only acknowledge but are very proud indeed of their affiliation with their Irishness. Some of them, like Barack Obama, Shaquille O'Neal, Muhammad Ali, you know, so many, in fact, are not just nodding slightly, but many of them have actually been very proud of their connection. And that doesn't, you know, cover the half of it in terms of, you know, those perhaps who are not as well known. You don't have to be high profile for that. But maybe you could address, you know, the organization and the history of, not a deep history, but why was it that through all the decades here, particularly in New York, the melting pot of America, how is it that we did not see or experience, other than a nod occasion, you know, foundations, organizations such as you have, you know, founded in the Voices, and now as a board member, you know, of the Diaspora Network?
Well, the short answer for that, Adrian, is we didn't have enough Paul O'Dwyers in the world, because people like Paul set an example, but it was sometimes a very kind of isolated example of reaching out to other communities. And I don't say that with a completely critical, I say that with, you know, a sense of humility and balance, because I understand deeply the Irish American narrative of history and how, you know, it wasn't always easy, that, you know, that sensibility of identity. There was discrimination at times, et cetera, et cetera. There was anti-Catholicism, there was anti-Irishness and things like that. So, you know, in the American experience, like, it's kind of, to some extent, part and parcel of some of those identities. You know, there's a competitiveness, you know what I mean? Because you're kind of, you're looking after your own turf. And the other complication for, say, kind of the Black-Irish connections, and, you know, part of the reason that, you know, that number of 38% of African Americans holding Irish descent. I've actually never been able to fully verify the source of that, and someday I will do that. But nevertheless, you know, there is, I'm not quibbling, you know, it's more just like a significant number of African Americans have Irish ancestry. Some of it is, you know, basically, you know, down to, you know, the privileging of, you know, whiteness and, you know, yeah. You know, the Irish weren't seen as white in the way we may understand it today in earlier times. And, you know, to some extent, there would have been kind of a sense of distancing and moving up the social hierarchy by, you know, keeping away from the thorny issue of race in the American experience. You know, the African American experience is deeply embedded in the American experience. The Irish American experience is deeply embedded in the American experience. I mean, when you think about that, Adrian, I don't think it's a huge leap to say, hold on a second, there must have been more interaction. You know, and I know that Americans of African and Irish descent lived in urban settings, in particular in the 19th century, in close proximity.
Yes.
Did it mean that they were all having families together? No. Did it mean that they were all killing each other? No. But what my work and the African American Irish Diaspora Network and the other great work that's going on in the field of Irish studies and in the field of culture, our colleagues at the Irish Rep and at the Irish Arts Centre and all these wonderful institutions, the Tenement Museum, they're doing it as well. They're putting into dialogue more these interactions, and sometimes it's putting us into uncomfortable places, Adrian, because we have to say, well, to what extent did Irish people who came to the United States participate in the enslavement of people of African descent? That happened. Did it mean that every second immigrant who came over was in a position to do that? No. But we need to, I suppose, that was one of the things that dawned on me early on, is that we kind of need to put ourselves into uncomfortable places a little bit in terms of looking at the history and coming together. And one of the wonderful things about the African American Irish Diaspora Network, it's not very laden down with some of this history, which is dark, but it's also, Adrian, not being afraid to acknowledge the discomfort, right? Because when you don't acknowledge the discomfort or open up the space or the possibility for the dialogue, then you're at nothing. You know that and I know that.
Yeah.
We've watched Northern Ireland, we've watched other places, and that just doesn't work in the long term in terms of community building. But the African American Irish Diaspora Network is forward looking in terms of finding ways to celebrate and commemorate and be mindful of the history, and also to kind of connect to Ireland in a more engaged way in terms of bringing, in particular, African American students to Ireland, exchange programs with Irish universities to bring Irish students to some of the historically black colleges and universities in the United States. And in a way, Adrian, what we're trying to do with the African American Irish Diaspora Network is just open up another connector across the Atlantic, and one that enriches the way we understand the African American experience and the Irish American experience and today's Ireland, because there's no doubt that this is relevant in the new Ireland again, which is another added bonus to it all.
Dr. Miriam Nyhan-Gray, you had mentioned the influence, and as one of the leaders who again took the bull by the horns, just could no longer accept the fact that, that there was, at least on the surface, a growing number of people who assumed that, for instance, the African Americans were coming in, they were taking the jobs that you know, the Irish had traditionally held. And you mentioned Paul O'Dwyer. I'm proud, of course, to be a nephew of Paul O'Dwyer, my mother's brother. But I also learned the hard way when I came here first. And Paul ran for a number of political offices in New York. That there were many of those who just inherited this, you know, the sense of bias without any information whatsoever. It was, you're a Catholic, so go with it. You know, you're Irish, you know, those of color are, you know, they're a threat to you. They're a threat to whatever. And I remember with the passage of time that a great number of people, for the lack of a better word, mellowed and then said, you know something? That's right, we never looked at it that way before. That is, I think, you know, what we are, you know, going to experience now. And when you have the African, Irish diaspora, not African American, and also, you know, a lot of it has to do with your own founding and getting this off the ground. It's amazing. It is something that, again, we can be proud of. Just want to ask you, though, for those who may be interested, and that is the profile of Ireland has changed drastically, you know, definitely over the last half century, to where now you have a tremendous, you have a multicultural country in Ireland. And can we learn some lessons, you know, from that experience?
I think so, Adrian. I mean, but the interesting thing about the new Black Irish community in Ireland is seeing this first generation. I mean, as someone who studies migration, Ireland is fascinating. It's such an interesting laboratory at the moment because you're really just seeing the first generation of Black Irish people coming of age. And what's really interesting about this young, new, exciting demographic in Irish society is they look at the Black British experience. They look at the Black American experience. In particular, you know, those places loom large because of the histories between Ireland and the UK and the United States. But they're very self-consciously saying, we're Black and Irish. We have a different history. We don't have a history of colonialism like, you know, the British experience, yeah. You know, a lot of the people of African descent and Caribbean descent in England, in the UK, you know, kind of came off the back of the British Empire's tentacles as it had expanded, as you and I well know. And they don't also have the experience of enslavement that a lot of African Americans, you know, kind of owe their origins to in the North American and in particular in the United States. And these young Black Irish guys and gals that I've come across are very articulate about their self-consciousness and ownership of what it means in the 21st century to be very proudly Irish, but very proudly Black or Brown or whatever mm-hmm. way they want to self-identify. And in that way, Adrian, as someone who has, you know, a lot of interest in the waves of peoples who've come into Ireland and, you know, to use that hackneyed old phrase, become more Irish than the Irish themselves. It's an exciting thing to see. It's also, you know, people grumble about migration and immigrants sometimes. And, you know, we sent out our peoples. You know, I always go back to that. We sent out our peoples, or they were forced out for many, you know, generations, and, you know, weren't always welcomed in different places. So, you know, I suppose the sign of the prosperity of the island has been to see people coming in and making Ireland their home. Now, in real terms, the population of people of African descent in Ireland is quite small, right? Most of the immigrants who come to Ireland in the past few decades are from Eastern Europe, you know, Poland in particular, yeah. Latvia, Lithuania, and things like that. So the population of people of African descent is still, if I remember correctly, between 1 and 2%. But it's a visible presence and something that wasn't there to any significant degree like this in the past. And in that sense, it gives us, it's, you know what it is, Adrian? It's another really exciting way in which diaspora is playing out in an Irish context. But in this way, instead of us thinking about New York or London, we're thinking about Dublin, and we're thinking about, you know, kids who have connections to Lagos in Nigeria, or maybe to somewhere in the Caribbean. So the African American Irish Diaspora Network is coming at a very interesting time. We have 4 amazing honorees for this event.
This is the inaugural event. Sorry, but I just want to say
the inaugural gala, the 29th. Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
29th of September, and the honorees are President Mary McAleese, Professor Henry Louis Skip Gates, and Fionnuala Sig O'Reilly, and John Samuelson. These in 4 different spheres and in different ways really exemplify the spirit of some of the people who, you know, kind of made those transatlantic connections between Ireland and the United States. I'm thinking of Frederick Douglass and Daniel O'Connell. I'm thinking of John Hume and John Lewis. And those characters will be kind of spiritually in the room with us as we, like, you know, objectively, you know, Adrian, it's a very exciting milestone in our community. And I say that because some of my colleagues at NYU who work on different migrant groups and work on different European countries, I'm talking about Italy, I'm talking about other places. What we're doing in these spaces through the Black, Brown and Green Voices series, through the African American Irish Diaspora Network, and all the other things that are going on around these events and these programs, some of my NYU colleagues are in awe because we're really stepping up to the plate. And that's not for us to say we can't do more and we shouldn't do more and we have to keep up the pressure in terms of what this means, because this is kind of a journey for us in terms of the face of our community and what it means. But I also want to take this moment to congratulate our community in doing it, because we're actually pioneering in what we're doing, Adrian, because it's not happening in other groups to the same extent. And I think, in fairness, we should acknowledge that. And I hope that the event on September 29th will be a fitting celebration of our honorees and of the people in the community who have kind of brought all this together.
It is, friends, again, it's the inaugural Diaspora Leadership Awards Gala. Again, this Thursday, September 29th, and the dinner co-chairs, Keith Wright, our guest, Dr. Miriam Nyhan Gray, and this is something that perhaps up to now, a lot of people, as we know, with many of the with the plans for events coming up, a lot of people have been away for the summer, have turned off, as it were, but the time is now, because this we hope, and we'll do our bit to make sure that this is in fact a memorable occasion. It is the inaugural Diaspora Leadership Awards Gala. Very important that we, you know, we get to this time, have a great inaugural gala evening. And I'm also delighted to see that the event coordinator is Carla Capone, somebody who definitely knows her stuff. And can I give the telephone number for Carla Capone? And I'm sure you'll it's 212-213-1166. That's 213-1166 in Manhattan. Or events at Carla, C-R-L-A, Capone.com. Dr. Miriam Nyhan Gray, okay, you're on, obviously you're on overtime today, and I will pass that on to HR. So.
Adrian, thank you. Thanks for letting me come on and talk about this event. It's close to my heart, and I'm hoping that the success of this event means that we can, you know, endow and support some of these scholarships to send students, you know, in both directions across the Atlantic, and also, you know, work on, you know, one of the things, you know, and I'll come back another day to talk to you about the rich in ways in which African American and Irish American cultural and artistic references have come together in music and in dance and other ways, and in acting and in on stage. So, we look at that great example recently of Larry Kerwin's musical. There are so many ways in which there's a lot of exciting work to be done, and the support of the African American Irish Diaspora Network through this gala will make some of those things possible into the future, and we're very grateful for the support from the community, and thank you for having me on today to share some of the information on that with you and your listeners.
Thank you again, and I just want to let our listeners know that all the details with respect to the African American Irish Diaspora Network and the awards gala, you'll find them, I know, in several areas, but also Anya Sheridan tells me that you can get them on our Facebook of Irish Radio, or indeed Adrian Flannelly. A pleasure to chat with Dr. Miriam Nyhan Gray, our partner in broadcast, and again, good luck with this one and in all you do. Thank you.